Did we get new lights? I don't think I've ever been blinded before. It must be something a little different. That's okay. Y'all don't need to hear me complaining. Jane gets to hear that enough. So don't need to hear me complain. I want to start off before we get into the original lesson. We have been talking about things that we're going to be doing that are coming up. And wanted to give you another little heads up. Some of you are already aware. We have ordered cards that are one of the simplest, easiest ways I have ever seen of being able to study the Bible as an individual or as a group or with other people. And we wanted to share that with you. It was what those of us who went to Murfreesboro this past year was introduced to, I think, about three or four of us. And then we had another much more detailed study that we were introduced to that is also excellent. And that one, the more detailed study, we're going to offer a class probably into the beginning of next quarter at some point, just for those who are seriously interested in having Bible studies with people. But this card, we want to introduce to everybody. And it's going to be something that will be very helpful and beneficial and a very easy and simple way to have a study with friends, a study with other individuals, or a group study. And I say easy and simple because the card itself teaches. You don't have to be the teacher. All you need is you have about three or four scriptures that are going to be read. It's to last for a week. And the first day, you have a couple of passages to read and you share the reading of it. And then there are questions. And the questions are always the same. The questions never change, but it's pulling out information from the verses that you've been reading. And that may sound real confusing, but we want to introduce that. And right now what we're talking about is we're trying to figure out the best time to do it. And I'm thinking that our best time will be the first class period of the new quarter. Because if we were to do them right now toward the end of this quarter or in the middle of this quarter, it would not be a fair advanced warning to our teachers who already have their lessons prepared and are planning on teaching for an entire quarter. But if we make it at the start of the next quarter in March, we can give the teachers then a heads up about one day is going to be for this, and we'll kind of present it in the classes. Thought about that. Also thought about just doing it on a Sunday night. But we would like to have as many people that attend here taking part in it as we possibly can. So we'll be saying a little more about that as we go through, but want you to be aware of it. But before I forget and go into the lesson, let me give you an update on Eric Boggs. I think Mark got an update just a few minutes ago, and Eric is now at Grandview. He wasn't able to go in because of something going on at UAB. He wasn't able to go to UAB, but he's now at Grandview. And he's still having some pain behind his eye and still some loss of feeling in the side of his face, but they have determined that his stroke is a mild one, although he's still having some symptoms about it, but he's doing fine. And they plan to do an MRI tomorrow to get more information about what's particularly happening with him. And so that's our latest update with Eric, and want all of us to keep him and Dee Davis and our prayers and so many others in our prayers. And we have a lot of different individuals going through a lot of things right now. And let's just remember every single one of them. We've been praying for a lot for a long time, and we still need to remember them and keep them in our prayers. What I had wanted to do tonight was we looked at one way of presenting the gospel this morning from an example that all of us are familiar with. And tonight I wanted us just to look at some verses of scripture. And these are going to be verses that I think every single one of us are familiar with. But if you're not, you need to become familiar with them. And these aren't the only ones. I picked these out, and there are going to be a lot of others that would probably be better and stronger than the ones that I've selected. But these are verses that if you're not familiar with, you need to get familiar with and be aware of. And it will help you in having conversations with other people about becoming disciples of Christ. So let's begin it this way. We're going to talk about more things to say from scriptures in just a minute. We have our sign as you leave our building and leave out of our parking lot, come down to the street, go make disciples. I love it that that's the sign. Make disciples. And the reason I love it is because a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower, and one that follows and strives to imitate. And it's exactly what Jesus instructed his disciples to do, to go and make disciples. And that's what he instructs us to do, to go and make disciples. Now, I want you to stay with me for just a second and not get confused, because I'm about to say something that I sense is a problem with us and have sensed it for a while. And I want to be very careful about saying it and making sure we say it in the right way and make sure we understand it. But when we say make disciples, I think what sometimes we hear is let's get them in church. Well, it would be great if they wanted to be a part of River Chase, but you can be attending here at River Chase and not be a follower of Christ, not be a disciple, not be listening to him. And being a member here at church sometimes kind of leaves the idea of somebody coming here simply because they like something about us or they like something about what goes on here, and not necessarily being tied into, oh, I understand who Jesus is. I understand what he's done for me, and I believe in him with all of my heart, and I want to follow him. And there can be a difference in that. But if you are a disciple of Christ, then you are his ecclesia, which is the wrong word to be used, but it's the word that represents the church. The ecclesia is the called out people of God. They're the ones that have been called out by God, by Jesus and his life to follow him. They are his disciples. That is the church. And sometimes we say things and it kind of gets us, I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, if we could just get them in church. Well, let's get them introduced to Jesus and help them to become followers of Jesus. And then they will be in the church. They will be his ecclesia if they are listening to him and they are following him. And I like the sign, the disciples, and that needs to be our focus as we go through, that we're striving to make disciples, meaning we are striving to help people to understand what's been done for them and help them to become followers of Jesus Christ. So let's read some verses. The first one we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 7. And this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And then we're going to flip over to what he says at the Great Commission. And we're all familiar with these verses, but these are ones that are so important for us to keep in mind and to remember. Jesus is describing the nature of his disciple. He is describing the nature of the individual who follows after him. And what he begins with, or what he says, in Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 21, is this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. To be a follower of Jesus Christ, we listen to him. To be a follower of Jesus Christ, we hear his words, and we strive to follow after him. He expresses that again in verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. The house is us, our life, who we are, and our devotion to Christ. Then he says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat against that house, and it fell. And the fall of it was great. For those, just a comparison, the disciple listens and follows. The one who wants to claim to be a disciple does not listen, does not follow. And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to do. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, Jesus telling his disciples exactly what they are to do. He says this, as he is about to ascend into heaven and he is about to turn over the work to his apostles. And we'll start the reading in verse 18, and Jesus says this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the one who controls everything now. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make them followers. Help them to become followers of Jesus. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All of us are familiar with that verse. If you're not familiar with that verse, then become familiar with it. The book of John writes these things that are so important. They are sometimes difficult to understand because of the nature of God himself and the nature of Jesus. But he says this. This is the truth. It's exactly who Jesus is. And if we're not familiar with these verses, we need to be familiar with them. We're going to look at two different verses in John chapter 1. And the first one, we'll start with verse 1. In the beginning. It's not when he started, when God said, in the beginning, and he created everything, God was already there. God was already at work. God had been on and on. There's an interesting thing in the book of Psalms. I'm doing this off my cuff right now, and that's probably a mistake. But I've been thinking about doing a lesson on it, but there's a psalm that talks about when David writes and he says to God, with all that you've done and all that you've made, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is a human being that you are mindful of him? And the point as you look at that psalm is that the angels are above us. There are angels that turned against God, evidently. And there are angels that have been cast out of heaven, evidently, from what the Bible will tell us. But we are below the angels. We don't have their power. We don't have their strength. We don't have their ability. We are below the angels. And yet God has put us in charge of this earth. He has put us in charge of all of His creation in order to prove that the weakest can be the strongest. The weakest can become even higher than the angels themselves. And all of that is done through Jesus Christ, who became like us for a little while below the angels, and now sits at the right hand of God, the very place where we will all go if we are followers of Christ. It's an amazing thing to think about. What God has done, demonstrating the weakness of us, and yet in following Christ, the strength we will become and the force that we will become in Christ and be above the angels at some point in time when we get there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it, has not overcome it. If you drop down to verse 9, it continues, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." Just think of the times you can speak to somebody who's having trouble with life and doesn't think life is worth living and think, do you know, do you have the proper guide? Do you have the proper light to see your way through this world and through all the problems that come? Are you paying attention to the one that tells you exactly how you ought to live in this world to overcome everything about it? And that's what it is. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Do you know who you are? Do you know what's been given to you? Do you know what you're going to become? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is not a physical birth. This is a spiritual birth, born of God because of our trust in Jesus Christ and all that He has done. My favorite one is this one that Claude Flynn told us about in a class some time ago. Claude was not a Christian at the time, and he had somebody who talked with him about becoming a Christian. And if you weren't there, I'm going to reread this verse like he does. This is, to me, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Is the one verse where you might want to start it with the question, do you know what's been done for you? Do you really know what's been done for you? And we read it this way as it's written, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Let's read down through verse 21, then we'll come back to verse 16. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works would be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. What they did, or what this individual did with Claude Flynn when Claude became a Christian, after reading John 3:16, he said, okay, I want you to read it again. And this time, I want you to substitute, instead of whoever, I want you to insert your name. And so you read it, for God so loved the world that he gave, I'm sorry, for God so loved Dwayne Spivey. Put your name there. For God so loved Dwayne Spivey that he gave his only son, that if Dwayne Spivey believes in him, he will not perish, but he will have eternal life. And sometimes when we read Scripture and we're helping other people read Scripture, we need to help them see it personally. Because it's not just a whoever, it's you. It's not just a whoever, it's me. It's not just a whoever, it's personal. It is for me, and it is for you. And that is something, whenever we're talking with somebody, we need to make sure that they understand. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. That's the follower. The one who listens to what Jesus says and strives to follow it. You're not going to do it perfectly. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is not what I think. It's what he says. The truth is not what I want to believe. It's what he says. And so those are his disciples, the ones who listen to him and follow him. Just a few more, four more exactly. We'll do these real quickly. We'll go to Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and then to 1 John. The first one in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul is giving a warning. He's giving a warning to those that are Christians who have been taught, who became believers in Jesus Christ. But they're running into some problems, and so he gives a warning. I am astonished that you were so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort or twist or change the gospel of Christ. But even if we, Paul says, even if we, and I'm wondering if we, he means all of your teachers that have taught you, or if he means we, all the apostles. He's talking about himself for certain. But even if we are an angel, if an angel came down and should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Verses 11 and 12. For I would have you to know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. It didn't come from Paul's own thoughts. It didn't come from his own ideas. It didn't come from what he wanted to say. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God. Holy men of God spoke, Peter will say, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is not a man's writing. This is God himself speaking to us. Jesus himself speaking to us. Ephesians chapter 2. Many of us are probably familiar with this verse. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. I want you to notice the phrasing, and it is so important and so helpful and striking as you're trying to talk with someone. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. All of humanity has sinned. All of humanity did what they wanted to do. All of humanity lived like everybody else was living. Then look at the next word. It's a three-letter word. But. He goes through all this listing, and then he comes to that word, but God. He made a change for all humanity, if they will accept it. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Do you know what's been done for you? Do you know who did it? Do you know what's been done for you? By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works where you've earned it and merited it, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. There's things we are to be doing. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Go over two books to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Just two verses, verses 21 through verse 23. And it's almost like the very thing stated in the book of Ephesians. Colossians will write this. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. This is Jesus. What he did for you and for all humanity, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. The book of 1 John, to me, summarizes it all very well. In the book of 1 John, and we're going to read, starting in verse 5 of chapter 1, and we're going to read down through verse 6 of chapter 2. It's not that long of a reading, but the whole thing fits together. Listen to what John says. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. He's talking about himself and the apostles, as he will continue to say, use that we in expressing himself and the apostles later on in the book, but we won't turn to that one. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light doesn't mean you're perfect. Walking in the light doesn't mean you never do anything wrong. Walking in the light, though, means there's something about you that keeps bringing you back to Jesus. So he expresses it here. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're lying. If we say we haven't sinned, we don't sin. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, recognize I did wrong, acknowledge it to Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so by continually acknowledging the wrong that I do and asking Him to forgive me, we are continually forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have a lawyer in heaven, and He's on our side, and He's already paid the penalty. He is the propitiation, the payment. He is the one making the payment. He has already made it by the blood that He shed. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know what God has done for you? Do you know what's been done for you? By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. The whole world needs to hear all of that. The whole world needs to know what's been done for you. Not everybody will listen, but some will. But everybody needs to know it. There may be some tonight who are just coming to realize what's been done for them and are ready to put on Christ. There may be some tonight who need to come home to Christ. We're going to offer you His invitation, invite you to come if you need to, as together we stand and as we sing.